Welcome to Salcedo Paranormal. Tonight's show, I will be sharing true paranormal stories from the web. Thank you all for being here. I'm trying out something new this time with Discord, so if I seem a little distracted, that's why. As always, you can find all episodes of the show, along with links to social media and other ways to contact me at the podcast page. And that is salcidoparanormal.podbean.com. That's SalSido paranormal.podbean.com. Always happy to hear from you all, whether you have comments or questions or topic suggestions or stories of paranormal experiences, whether they're your own or from others that you trust. Happy to either read those or have you join me on the show to talk about them. And if you'd like to support the show, there are a few different ways to do that. You can always share the show and with others that might like it. Also, review and rate it on the different platforms that you listen on. Also, if you are into paranormal fiction and nonfiction books, you can look me up on Amazon. My name, James Salcedo. And you will find some there to check out and maybe hopefully buy. And then also there's always donation links as well for if you want to just make a donation to the show. It's never expected, but all help is always appreciated. There are always expenses with equipment and research and just general costs. So also, thank you all for listening, whether you are here for the live stream right now or if you listen on the podcast or YouTube feeds, or if you listen on the Trouble Minds Radio Network, KUAP, Digital Broadcasting, at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, every night, right before Trouble Minds Radio comes on. I want to thank Michael Strange and also, Rohan, good friends, for creating the music that you hear in the beginning and the end of those shows that you hear on that station. So, because I know I could not do it myself. So, I think that takes care of everything. Thank you all for bearing with me as I took a week off. It was definitely needed, but it's just so good to be back here again. I think that's why I'm a little bit rusty. So, are also coming up on episode 400 of the show on Wednesday night is when that will be happening. So I'm looking forward to that. I have a couple ideas as to what kind of show I want to do, and we'll go from there. So, I think that's everything for now. So I will get to these stories that I found and see how many we get through today. So let's see here. Let me find the file again. Okay, here we go. Alright. So, this one says, around 3 a.m., a raging storm outside my bedroom window woke me up. I rolled onto my side in my bed to see my giant mirror on the wall, which is right in front of me. I observed a black mass obstructing half of the mirror. I suspected I was hallucinating, so I gazed at it for about a minute. I closed my eyes, and then opened them again, to find that the thing had disappeared. I could view my entire mirror, whereas before, I could only see half. I immediately realized it was a shadow figure that had manifested itself in our reality through the power of a thunderstorm. So that's a short story, but it's also amazing because we've talked about this before on the show, different episodes, about the whole idea that the weather can affect things, including the paranormal, and maybe give energy to beings that are out there, and or beings that are maybe in one realm, and then possibly use that energy from the storm to maybe cross over to this one. Hard to say, for sure. But even the writer had this idea that it must have been able to show itself because of the storm. So that is really amazing. If you check back on the shows that I've done, you'll find one that talks about weather for sure. I can't remember now what number that was, but it's a little ways back. And so, yeah, it just I do think weather can play a part. That's a fairly well-known thing now. With even like paranormal investigators will sometimes say that they like to investigate when there has been a storm or when there is going to be a storm, even though in some cases you might want to be careful with that. But yeah, let me see here. Looking at the chat here, thank you all for joining me in especially tonight in this chat, because it's a different setup than I used to have. Using a different feature on Discord. So Rohan says, maybe the static fields that storms make change what is possible. Like the John Hutchinson effect. I don't know that name, but that wouldn't surprise me. You have all that energy, both the energy that you see in a storm, but then also just the energy you don't. And again, I've mentioned this before in other shows, the way storms and weather in general seems to turn for no apparent reason, except in some cases it seems like it's almost sentient, like it's choosing where to go. And so, again, is that some entity in there doing that, or multiple entities, or is it being drawn to different beings? It's hard to say. But I do think that there are possible connections between the paranormal. Yeah, elementals, as Rohan says in the chat there. Yep, yeah. And that's in all kinds of weather. I mean, I'm not even... the story mainly talks about the light. I think the electricity is what they're mainly pointing at. But, I mean, you have wind. You have all the water going through the air in a lot of cases. Coming down, and so there's a lot going on there. Even I'm guessing, I mean, the when the lightning does strike, it has visible effects on things, on trees. It can set them on fire, on the ground. There's also that, I forget what it's called now, but there are times when in cases where, when lightning strikes on a beach, the sand that it hits is turned into glass. And again, what is that except maybe some kind of a mirror once it's solidified? So, yeah, just an amazing concept there. I wouldn't doubt that was possible. I don't think it explains everything, again, because people have experiences without storms, but I do think that they can be a factor in a lot of cases. Especially if there's one nearby, or fairly even remotely nearby, and then the energy just travels throughout an entire area, even if you're not aware of a storm that happened, or is happening a little ways away. If it's not a severe storm, it could still be going on. So, anyway, yeah, neat story there. I don't doubt that's a thing, that the writer could be right about that. The mirror thing, also, I mean, again, the way they reflect and absorb light, I don't think I'd ever want a mirror right in the same room as where I'm sleeping. You hear about that, some people they get weird feelings from them anyway, so they won't even allow that to happen, to be set up that way in their own home. Other people, it doesn't seem to affect them, unless they have an experience like this, I'm guessing. I wonder what the writer here in this case if they made that connection to the mirror or not. If they didn't, then it may still be there. The mirror may still be there. If they did, though, at any point after, well, maybe they moved it. I know I wouldn't want, like I said, I wouldn't want that there. And I've heard a lot of cases where it seems to be, a lot of the stories you hear about, it's antique mirrors, but I think any mirror can be used as some kind of a portal for, or even a window for beings, for entities. There was one time, I don't know what it was or who it was, excuse me, but I remember in my apartment here, I had to go use the bathroom, and as I was coming towards the bathroom door and everything, I had it open and I had the lights off because I get around my apartment by touch, by feeling the walls and everything. And so before I get in there, and then before I got in there, before I even turned on the light, I had this feeling like I did not want to look at the mirror. And I couldn't figure, I didn't know why, except I guess in the back of my mind I had this idea, even though I wasn't really aware of it, that there was someone there, and I didn't want to look at them. And it only happened that one time. And the rest of the time, before and since, it's always been fine. So, I don't know what that was about, but I don't doubt it. I've learned to trust the feelings that I have when these weird things happen, even if I don't actually see anything. If I get a weird feeling not to look in a certain direction or at something, then I don't do it. And I think that's the best way to go when you can. So, moving on to the next story here. Let's see. And, okay. So this one says, when I was around 3 years old, my mom and I were searching my bedroom for a sandal. As the minutes ticked by, my mom's exasperation grew. Suddenly, the sandal dropped in the center of the room, landing right before my eyes. My mom was in disbelief as I burst out laughing, since I was a toddler, and she kept asking how this had occurred. There was nothing situated in the middle of the room. The sandal literally manifested out of thin air. Even now, I am unable to explain it. My uncle had passed away some time ago, and my mom said he used to love hiding things from people as a joke. He had a special fondness for me, and we used to watch TV together when I was a baby. This was one of many paranormal things that occurred after he had passed away. So that's where the story ends. I like how it sort of comes together. The pieces sort of fall into place in a way the further on you get in the story. At first, it just sounds like your typical case of sort of like poltergeist or apports activity where something vanishes and then it reappears. And in a way, I mean, that's still a part of it. But then the writer talks about their uncle, who used to like to do that same thing, hide things and then have the people find them, have to look to find them later on. The question there is, I mean, was that sandal anywhere in that house? Or if it was it somehow being hidden from sight, or was it not even there? There's all these questions you don't know when these things happen. And then, of course, how did it just appear? That's the whole part of the reason for the phrase, the term apport, I believe. How did it just appear in the middle of the room in between the mother and the writer when they were a toddler? It's hard to say for sure if it was the uncle, but given the information that the writer provided there, it very well could have been. It seems like maybe, especially if there was other things going on there, as the writer mentioned, at the end of their story. If it was just that one event, then I could say, well, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't him. If there were other events that seemed to point in the direction of it being him, of course, I'd love to know what those events are, but that's not written down there, so. But if there's other events that all seem to point at it being this uncle, then maybe it was, especially if there was nothing negative, really. I mean, frustrating for the mom, obviously, but nothing, no attacks, no fright, no fear. There didn't seem to be any fear involved in that one event. So maybe it was the uncle. But yeah, the whole, the idea of things vanishing and reappearing, and I think in some cases it can definitely be a certain entity, a certain spirit maybe. But I've also, there's one other story I had a little while back about this house where this family lived, and in this one spot in their kitchen, it was almost like a vortex. And that, and whenever the writer and their family walked through that one spot, they said they felt like they were, almost like they were falling, even though they weren't. And then there was this one day where the father, the dad, dropped his phone in that one spot, and it completely vanished. And then years later, in that same spot, it reappeared. It landed on the floor as if it had just fallen, even though it had been many years. And the people who were kids at the time this happened found it and verified it was their dad's old phone. So was that some conscious being or not? In that case, where there seems to be other things that indicate, I don't know, some of the other details of that story that I can't remember all of them now. But some of the other details, to me, make me think, no, there isn't a sentient entity there, being there, doing all these things. So it really is hard to tell. And of course, I say it seems like that to me, but as I always say, I don't know for sure. But yeah, the whole objects vanishing and reappearing, especially in that matter, because sometimes the objects will reappear sort of in a spot out of sight where the people don't see it reappear. This seems like it was right there in between the people. So that's a whole other level, I think, in a way, because maybe people could write things off when they've looked all through an area and they didn't see an object, but then they look through again and they find it. I could see that being written off, even by the people experiencing it, as, oh, I must not have looked there as hard as I thought I did, or I must have missed that spot. But when it's really just appearing in thin air and then falling onto the floor right in front of you, that's a bit different right there. It's a whole other level of the paranormal, possibly. So, okay. I think I have time for one more story here. If y'all notice, I am doing things a little bit different with these shows now. I'm taking a little more time to read the story and to talk about the possibilities there. And I hope y'all enjoy it. I have my reasons for doing it this way. I think I was rushing before, for one thing. Another thing, this is a lot easier in my eyes. I'm not having to read as much. But hopefully you all still enjoy this slightly different format of the show. So, getting on to this next story here. This one says, "This just happened a little while ago. My wife and I recently got a kitten. It is mostly orange with a white stomach. Normally we don't let him sleep in our room with us, as he likes to get into things and destroy them and run around the room at times. My wife just woke up, saying, "What the heck?" And I looked over to see a white kitten beneath the sheets, sitting on her chest. Next, I turned my head as I heard meowing coming from outside the closed bedroom door. When I looked back at my wife, I lost my spot. The white kitten was gone. We got up and looked all around the room, even under the bed, but found nothing, even though we were using a flashlight. Did we just see a ghost kitten? And that's where the story ends. And that to me is amazing. I wonder if it was some kind of a astral travel of the cat sitting outside that room wanting to get in. Maybe its attention was just so focused. I mean, you hear about how people will sometimes look the same, but also sometimes people look different from the way they did when they were alive. Once they're in, just to be vague, ghost form, however you want to call it. But yeah, so why can't cats appear different as well? Yeah, that's PDG. You may have that right as well. Poor kitten was trying to teleport, and that could be. Especially the way it just disappeared. It didn't jump off the wife, the writer's wife. It didn't back away. It didn't do anything else. I mean, it didn't seem to be harming her. There was no mention of anything like that. It just seemed to be there. But then the sound of it meowing outside the room, and then it was just gone. And yeah, it could be that it was that same kitten. I've mentioned this before. I've had a couple of dreams, one for sure, and I feel like others, where I know somehow Logan was there with me. And that's my cat that I have. And she actually defended me from something one time in a dream. So I do think it's possible for them to sort of travel between different dimensions and appear in different places. And so who knows how it works. Maybe that is actually a really good point. Maybe that it was all white because it wasn't finished. It hadn't finished the process yet. It was like almost still traveling, whether it was astral or trying to teleport. I do think that's a possibility with cats as well sometimes, because I've had that appear to happen with Logan 3 different times. I don't know, but that seems like it. And it doesn't feel like it was a negative thing, but obviously it scared the people that were involved because they weren't expecting that. Especially if they've never been into anything, any of this supposedly weird stuff. They wouldn't have any idea that this may be a thing that could happen. So, great story there, just showing again why cats to me are so interesting. So, but yeah, I think that's all we have time for today. Thank you all for listening. And I'll be back next time with a roundtable show on the next episode of Salcedo Paranormal. Take care, everyone.